When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our flag means debt is over, but we're just getting started, celebrating it here on Post-Show Recaps. It's the 2022 in Review podcast series, where all month long, PSR is looking back one last time on some of the very best shows of the year. You can check out the full series by subscribing at postshowrecaps.com/2022inReview. Polite Menace is my brand. I'm Sarah Carradine, podcasting from unceded Gadigal land. And today we're talking about Our Flag Means Death, the impact it had on television in 2022, and so much more. More of the so much more than the impact, but we'll find out. We need to talk it through as a crew. They know the teeth don't go back in. Yes, it's Brooklyn Zed Hazed.
I was going to say, Impolite Menace is my brand. I'm very excited to be back with our favorite pirates and my favorite crew to talk about it with here at the end of the year, because this show ended so long ago at this point.
Yes, but oh, what a fast rewatch it was. I thought, oh, we'll rewatch the whole season. Done. It was brilliant. I could do it again. She drifted by late last night. It's Grace Leader. How are you, Grace?
Good. Ahoy. I'm back. We're back. We're on the, what is the ship's name? Gosh, I forget. The Revenge.
The Revenge.
On the Revenge.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. How long ago did we watch this the first time?
I was just looking it up. It ended in March 24th was when the last episodes dropped. Absolutely wild. And the thing that I remember most is then they made us wait 2.5 months until the start of Pride to say, happy Pride, you get a second season. And I was like, the better Pride gift would have been to not make me wait 2 months to know I'm getting a second season of one of the best shows I've ever seen.
And wear out my retweet finger, retweeting everything that David Jenkins said.
Hashtag renew our flag means death. Yeah. Are you still doing that? No.
I don't think we have to, is the beautiful
for season
thing.
Three.
Did we ever have to?
Let's go. Let's go.
Yes, yes, yes.
If we're talking about the impact that this show had in greater society, I think Renew Our Flag Means Death or Our Flag Means Death was trending on Twitter like every day until it was renewed. And then, in some aftermath after that, like that's how popular and beloved it was by the people that watched it.
And the people that were in it. I mean, if you followed any of the people that were in it, they were such huge fans of the show that they were retweeting each other and being thrilled to photograph each other together and finding cups with oranges on them, and then they sell out at Target because Vico Ortiz buys it. It was quite, that, I think to me, that was the, that's why it feels like we have never left it. And they've moved straight into very teasing photographs on Twitter as they are now filming season two. Before we start talking about Our Flag Means Death, which too late because we already have, we want to let you know that Post-Show Recaps has an audience survey running all month to learn more about you. Yes, you, the person listening, what you're watching, what you're listening to other than us, and what you want to see more of on the podcast in 2023. So the network's wide open. You've got to throw your grappling hooks over the side and tell us what you want. Head over to postshowrecaps.com/survey2022 to weigh in and help us make the podcast the best it can possibly be heading into the new year. That's postshowrecaps.com/survey2022. All right, Avast and Belay, let's get into it. Our Flag Means Death is a 10-part series on HBO in the US and Binge in Australia. It tells the pirating adventures of Steed Bonnet as he learns the ways of the sea and meets the most fearsome pirate of them all, Blackbeard, who he learns to call Ed. Is that a fair description, Grace? Mm.
Yeah, very fair. Yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, thank you very much. I wrote it myself.
Mm-hmm. Our Flag Means Death, you wrote the show?
No, show creator David Jenkins worked with some amazing writers and directors, including Taika Waititi, Bert and Bertie, who did two episodes back-to-back, Nacho Vigalondo, who did three, and Fernando Frias and Andrew DeYoung, who did one each. So drawing from a very interesting pool of writers and directors, and when, as we did episode by episode, we looked up their IMDbs, they were working not on blockbusters, not that there's anything wrong with blockbusters, but like really interesting projects.
And not Blockbuster, the Netflix show that apparently wasn't very good.
Apparently not. No, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Zed, get us started. What we thought we were getting versus what we got.
I signed up for a pirate show with Taika Waititi. And we got that.
Eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, it's true. We did not see Blackbeard for the first 2.5-3 episodes of this show, even though that was the majority of what I knew coming into it, was Taika Waititi was playing Blackbeard. This was a show about pirates. I was all in just based on those two facts alone. What we didn't know was that it was going to be one of the gayest things that has ever been on television. Mm-hmm. And it was lauded for its portrayals of so many different kinds of representation of genders and races and relationships and all of these different things. And so now people come into it excited for all of that. But it was kind of a joy to get to discover that that was what was happening in real time, because we're so familiar with being queer baited on these shows. And then it was like, oh, this is happening. They're going to do the thing. They're going to do all of the things. One of my favorite tweets I remember was somebody saying, "You're ruining all of our fan fiction because you're just putting it on the screen."
Yeah. Yes.
What are we supposed to write about? Yes. What a great problem to have.
Grace, that first time when Jim is discovered to have a false beard and a false nose, mm-hmm. and this ruffian pirate crew smoothly and immediately starts using the pronoun they. How did that feel?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. The show, yeah, I think to Zed's point, like it was incredibly queer, but it also, you know, had trans characters and different, you know, there's a thing that happened in 2022. It's one of my favorite things. I think if I talked to Josh about, we kicked off the year in review, and I said, you know, there's a lot of fantasy TV this year that feels really big. I didn't say this at the time, but the other thing that happened was just like surprisingly gay shows happen, which there's two. There's also A League of Their Own. And the thing, I think we knew that there'd be LGBTQ content in A League of Their Own because they said as much. But the thing about the show is you keep watching and you're like, they're also gay. Oh, they're gay. Oh, they're gay. Oh, they're gay. Like it just keeps happening. And that kind of happened in this show too of like, more representation? Oh, yeah, keep giving it to me. Including the wonderful Jim. Who's one of my favorite, we're in the poll, you can put in your favorite new character of 2022. And I feel very bad that I forgot. I feel like I need to go back and amend my ballot to vote for Jim. But this show, I think, yeah, just being a surprising delight. I know the other tweet that got a lot of attention is like, no, it's not a bromance. It's a romance between mm-hmm. these two men. It also does the thing that I love in TV, which is it's also very sad. This is very sad at times because it's like making you laugh and then it just punches you in the gut. And you're like, oh, no, maybe stabs you in the gut is more apropos for the show.
Yeah, so, but it aims just right so that it doesn't hurt too much and you can survive.
That's right.
But you have been stabbed, as we, John, said. Yeah. Of Jim, I'd like to get stabbed by them.
That's right.
What are the sort of cutest, salacious, sexual things a man has ever said?
Yeah. So a wonderful LGBTQ show that I was not expecting from the pirate show. And it does some fun stuff with history as well, where it's like, yeah, who cares if this is what happened or not? Who cares? This is the show. You came to watch this show. Who cares? So super fun. I'm very appreciative that this show is on our dreams. I love that we got to talk with Vico on the podcast, and glad I got to talk through it with the two of you.
One of the things I liked about the show, which I really saw when I binged the whole thing recently, was the sea is very wide. I don't know if you know this. Mm-hmm. The sea is very wide, but anybody in Our Flag Means Death can find anybody else anywhere on the sea. It's wonderful. You can get invited to a party and you just row there. Mm-hmm. You set off in a dinghy and you find whoever you're looking for. And I love the fantasy of that and the fact that the show just says, look, just accept, we're going to give you what the world is. And if you come with us, you're going to have a great time. And I certainly did have a great time. Were there any highlights from our chat with Vico? If people didn't know, we had the opportunity to speak with them after the show. They played Jim, and the generosity of them in their performance and in talking to us was one of the highlights of my year. Was there anything that was a highlight for either of you?
Just getting to do it at all was so very exciting. You know, we caught them, I think, right as like their stardom was like shooting into the stratosphere. Because this show gathered steam over time. Like the episodes mm-hmm. dropped over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks.
They did the classic 3-3-2-2 drop schedule.
Which clearly everyone is now emulating because mm-hmm. it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. But I think once the whole season had dropped and people really got the picture of what the show was, then it really took off, and all of the sudden everybody knew who Vico was, and it's like we got there, we were the cool people who knew who they were beforehand, and they were so, you know, generous with their time and just so enthusiastic about talking about the show and about the character, and it was extremely meaningful for me as a non-binary person to get to hear somebody talk about doing that on what is such a major platform, on a huge, huge network, on a big budget show that became extremely popular. Was just really, really meaningful.
I don't know if this came out in our interview or not, but seemingly how much Con O'Neill loves Vico is one of my favorite things about this whole thing happening, that the two of them like got connected. That's just amazing. I believe Vico dressed up as Con O'Neill a few times.
Yeah, Vico has been like cosplaying as Izzy. Yeah.
That's so amazing. My favorite thing from that interview was the acknowledgement that representation goes so much more, like needs to go so much deeper than just casting one person in a show.
Right.
And assuming that your representation is there, because Vico got to talk about what the writer's room of this show looks like. And if you're going to write a show that's this LGBTQ, you better make sure that you don't just have one LGBT writer. And specifically that person is like just going to be like a white, you know, queer person. Like, yeah, apparently the writer's room was very diverse in terms of identity and then different forms of gender and sexuality. So the fact that, you know, came through, as Vico was talking about, because I think we asked how much the role was sort of there and Vico auditioned for it, or how much Vico got sort of to put their spin on Jim. And it sounds like it was both, but also that Vico didn't have to do that much because the writer's room was so diverse. It's my sort of memory of that conversation, which I think is hugely important, super good. I think it's why the show resonates certainly with our crew a lot.
Right. Putting one gay man on the writing staff does not mean that you've covered the span of LGBTQ representation. Yeah. In your writer's rooms. And it is key to have that. I think this is what you're saying, Grace, not just on the screen, but also if even more so, I think, behind the scenes, so that those people who are enacting the roles are supported and taken care of and are working in a safe environment where they don't have to explain to the straight people or the white people or whoever that this is what my experience is like, and you
wrote
this
wrong.
That.
Yeah, you wrote this wrong, essentially. It's like what we're trying to fix. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, wonderful. And the resonation throughout the whole cast of characters. It's not just, oh, well, we've covered queer with this one person, or we've covered queer with this one relationship, because there's the charming, I was going to call him Frenchie, that's not his name, the charming
Lucius.
There is
Lucius.
There's a Frenchie, the charming Lucius, who decides we can talk about that. When Izzy Hans says to him, oh, you think you're cute? And he says, well, no, I don't, but I've decided to carry myself as if I am. Uh-huh. And he's something of a favorite with the crew. He has a relationship with Black Pete that everybody just goes, yeah, that's just what they're doing. He draws Fang nude, and Fang is just thrilled to be drawn. He's like charmed by it. And as I said before, Wee John saying, oh, I'd love them to stab me. there's a resonation throughout and an acceptance. I think what really struck me, and I actually started crying, when we get to the scene where Jim returns to their home and meets Nana, the nun. Nana calls Jim by the name Jim was called by as a child, is informed, no, I go by Jim, and immediately not only uses Jim but uses they, them pronouns. And I was weeping at that, the simplicity of it. And then I also liked that Nana, the nun, also made a couple of, let's say, mistakes or slips of the tongue where she called Jim by Jim's childhood name. And that was like a grace that I felt very strongly in that episode. And it seems to be now that that episode was such a turning point for all manner of reasons. The crew starts to break apart, slightly comes back together, but the whole theme is breaking apart. And at the end of the season, if you haven't watched it, this is a spoiler. Our two main characters, Steed and Blackbeard, called Ed, who have come together and confessed their love for each other, are torn asunder. And that's how we leave them. How do we feel about that being the through line of the season? This sort of jolly, funny, silly pirate show becoming a heart-rending moment there, Zed?
I think that adds weight to it, right? That it's not just easy. They make some things easy for us in that, just like you're saying, we don't have to spend 20 minutes talking about pronouns. We're just going to make that shift and it's going to be accepted. People are going to have all their various relationships and those are all just going to be accepted. But that doesn't mean that love itself is easy. And I think people can see themselves in this relationship in that way. And it's a great and infuriating cliffhanger to leave us on with these two guys that we've been rooting for this whole time to get together and to break apart and to come back together and to have a third man come in between them and to get over that and to still have more struggles along the way, you know, gives you something to look forward to coming in the next season.
Yeah, it's a cliffhanger that makes you mad for exactly the right reason. Not the, oh my God.
Because you care, yeah.
Yes, because you care and you're invested in their relationship together. And it's plausible why they break up. It doesn't feel like, I think anytime I'm watching a show, I want to get lost in the show I'm watching. And it's very tough. Apologies to everybody, but I'm going to talk about the plight of the podcast or somebody who talks about TV. Like, I joke with Ariel that every movie I'm in, I'm just sitting being like, how was that scene? Is that scene good? Was that a good scene? You know, is that acted well? You know, and it's like broken my brain a little bit. But the good shows are the ones where your brain turns off in that way. And you feel real emotion as you're like, no, don't leave. Ed, come back. Don't leave. What are you doing? Or I guess he abandons them, right? Am I misremembering? Sarah, you have to remind me what happened at the end of the show.
But yes. Yeah. I will. Yeah.
But I wasn't mad at it because I thought it was a bad ending. I was mad at it because I'm invested in these characters and I want them to be together.
Yes, excellent. At the towards the end, they've the two main pirates, Steed and Blackbeard, have taken an act of grace. Blackbeard agrees to do this so that Steed will not be killed. Right. They're sent to a naughty pirate's home for naughty pirates. And they plan their escape. They're going to meet by the dinghy. Blackbeard's going to go and mug a guy to get a dinghy. They will meet at the dinghy. And as Steed makes his way there, he is confronted by the other badminton. Who accuses him of destroying everything that he touches. And Admiral Chauncey Badminton trips and shoots himself dead. And Steed flashes back on all the ruin that he feels he has caused, including that he has ruined Blackbeard, because Chauncey says, you've taken the most fearsome pirate and turned him into a puppy dog. So Steed goes off home to solve at least one of his abandonments, which is with his wife Mary, and Blackbeard waits and waits and waits till the sun rises on the jetty and rows off into the sunrise. And Yes. The music helps as well. He returns to his fearsomeness. He pushes Lucius off the boat. He maroons the crew. He makes Izzy eat his own toe for fun. But our last view is him. He imprisons Jim. And we're very, very fearful for what is going to happen to Jim in this circumstance. And he keeps Frenchie because Frenchie can sew. And he makes the brokenhearted flag. But the very last shot that we have of the great Taika Waititi as Ed is him curled up in the bay window of his captain's cabin, sobbing.
Love you, bay window.
Love you, bay window. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having mentioned Mary, let's talk about Mary. She was a great surprise to me, her journey, shall we say, through the season.
Well, and that we even got to see her as much as we did, right? Because in a more traditional show, it could be, okay, you see her in the first episode and then Steed goes off to have his adventure and la, 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 we forget about the family back home rather than this woman getting to live her independent life and, you know, them having a sort of like an open marriage, essentially, and her being totally comfortable with Steed falling in love with a man, and Steed and the new guy like become friends, right? He's like a right. painter, and they're all happy, and the family is all okay. And she's like, "You need to go do this, and I'm happy living my life." So we're good.
They fake his death, don't
she's
they?
She's great. Yes, piano falls on him.
Right. Fuckery. Well, classic. he gets mauled by a leopard. A right. coach runs over him, and then the piano falls on him.
Yes, classic.
Well, it's a fuckery because it's a dead body that was lent to them by one of the other Circle of Widows.
Yes.
There's this wonderful Circle of Widows that Mary has found, and how much freedom they all feel. Her dress, her hair, the way she speaks all changes completely. And I didn't know that we'd see, again, another surprise. I didn't know we were going to see Mary again. And when we do, she's not the, you know, grieving widow, you know, wanly looking out a window. She's this vigorous, fulfilled, sexually and otherwise, woman who is painting, and the children are really happy, and their daughter's running around in trousers as well. And it's a very happy life without Steed, which, of course, drives the action forward. Grace, the home life here.
Well, one of the things I was going to say is I do think this idea about how that Mary is a surprise, and that we very much appreciate Mary's story in this show, is just a testament to how well written the show is. Because I know that there was a little bit of, I think in our recap, if we had one critique, it was like sometimes the show was very Steed and Ed focused. But I do think, like, you know, I didn't go back and rewatch it, but in my and I feel like this is. Maybe we're just mostly upset about a lack of Jim near the end. The Jim has a story that's very much wrapped up in the middle-ish of the season, and there's not much towards the end. Although I guess there is some stuff with
Spanish Jackie.
Yes, they go to right, Spanish
right.
Jackie.
Right. So there is some
and
stuff.
Instead of killing each other, they have a drink and figure everything
but
out.
But there were like at least two episodes where there just was like no Jim at all. And that was outrageous.
Yes. So, but one of the things I'm saying is that, like, in my sort of retrospect, although I'm thinking about, like, maybe not completely, but the show did a pretty good job of giving most of the crew like something that's more than, you know, you only have 10 episodes, and there's a lot of shows that would have been like this, where, like, I'm thinking of The Office, where you have this huge background crew, like supporting cast, who are the members of The Office, but, like, yeah, you have 24 episodes in a season, you can really flesh them out. I think for having 10 episodes, this show does a really good job of giving us a lot of stuff with not only Steed's crew, also Ed's crew, also every once in a while we get a third party person thrown in, like the Calico Jack shows up, right? We also have Spanish Jackie and Geraldo at right? So there's just like a lot of characters that they're actually servicing that, like, yeah, if we went back individually, I think one of the things where our critique is that, like, because we got really good, like, we got to know people, then we're like upset when they're not there. And so overall, the show did a pretty good job of, like, servicing a lot of the characters on the show, not just Steed and Ed, who I think are certainly the main characters of this show.
And if you think it's 10 episodes of 30 minutes each,
right?
How rich that world is, and how we know the people you know, we feel like we know them so well.
Right.
So there was a huge viewer response. There was, as we say, the campaign for the second season. Perhaps there was always going to be a second season, and this was just a way to drive interest. But I kind of doubt it because people were loving it anyway. So let's do a few predictions for season two. My number one question is Lucius dead?
I hope not. And that's like not a real answer. You know, that's just that's a hope. I'm trying to think if anyone we are invested in and care about we saw die on the show. Because like one of Jackie's husbands we was shot dead, right? But that Geralda, guy, we don't care about him that much.
Yes, yes. And he was one of the murderers of Jim's family.
Right. So he got what he deserved.
Both badmintons. Both badmintons died.
Yeah. I think in another show, I think the one that doesn't, that is not so like this, almost this show definitely, again, I think that it's so funny and then can punch you in the gut. And I do think like on most shows, I would be like, Lucius should be dead. You killed off your character. You got to like stick to that. This feels so sort of the thing that you were saying, there's a fantasy element to it, almost like a cartoonish element. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean that very much as a compliment that like, yeah, you row your boat. Like Calico Jack rows his boat to like find the ship, you know, and he just shows up like, hey, what's up? You know, I think that like
works. He shows up
like,
for whippies.
Yeah. Whippies. That Lucius falls off the ship but actually gets saved by like a school of fish and it like
right,
you know, like ends up on the beach and he like the opening in season two is like him coughing up water. Like I'm totally fine with that in this show because those are the stakes that this show has sort of given me. Yeah,
there are emotional stakes for sure. But I think for as much as it is a pirate show with swords and guns, there is not a lot of life and death stakes in the story that's being told here. And that's okay. Not every show has to have like Game of Thrones level, someone's dying all the time. It would be okay if we just watch some people like have a good life on the ocean.
People are being stabbed and hung and shot, but you don't necessarily die from that, which I like. I mean, yes, Steed sets off from Dover in his dinghy and he finds the size of my apartment deserted island that the crew's been left thinking that they were going to do a talent show. So if this world can do that, then this world can bring Lucius back. But I also think Lucius being dead also fits with the show and the emotional investment we had with this man and him finding his own glamour and finding his own kindness and being the one that helps both Steed and Ed through their heartbreak and being the one that is able to, you know, talk them through emotion and how much we loved him. So it's both right. It's right that he's both dead and not dead. He's Schrodinger's Lucius at the moment.
I wouldn't mind if it was a running bit on the show that every time the character dies, they show up as their twins. We get Nigel Bamington, and then we get Chauncey Bamington. It's just like, Frederick Spriggs is Lucius's brother or whatever. You know, he just shows up and he's like, what? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm back. Yes. I'm here. Yes. Yeah.
I would say the other thing, too, that kind of makes me lean towards him not being dead is a lot of the way that the crew is presented to us is almost like a preschool class. True. You know, they sit down and have their story time and they talk it through as a crew. They have their little rhymes for like how they know to like do things nicely. And you don't kill a preschooler on your TV show.
You might cut their finger off, but
you might cut their finger off. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a level of innocence to Steed's crew that affords them some plot armor, I think.
Nathan Fode is executive produced, created his own show, which I don't think means he's not going to be on this show. But I'm also just happy that he's a comedy writer, but he got to, I think he'd only been in one show before this, Bloods, and then has created the show. Because the other thing too is if he's like not wants to be, I guess I think he does maybe have a role in his TV show, but he's not the main character of his TV show. So
Newark.
Yeah. It's about like Morgana Robinson, who's on Taskmaster. Zed is the main character dealing with a divorce, and then the son has just come out, I think. Yeah. So
Oh, right. Yeah. A British Newark, not a New Jersey Newark. For those of us who live very close to Newark and don't want to show about Newark.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Anyway, I don't think that preludes Nathan Fode from coming back on the show. I think very likely. I think he had a pretty big Twitter presence, one of the more like active cast members for sure. So I could see that sort of being like, he's a big advocate for the show, I think so.
Yeah. And any other predictions for season two?
Well, they'll get back together. They have to.
Your face when you said that.
I'd be excited for some of the other folks sort of in this sphere who could show up. Was Jemaine Clements in the season at all in the rewatch? Did he show up at all? I feel like
Gus Kahn was there.
Him being a pirate Ivan. Certainly has money written all over it. So excited to see how they intermingle some more guests. They did a really good job of guest stars and Kristen Schaal and Nick Kroll, Fred Armiston, Will Arnett this last season. So yeah.
Yes. I want more Spanish Jackie. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Jim and Spanish Jackie get together and do something. Ooh. I don't know what it would be, but it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yes. I think that, here's my prediction. They will get back together, but it will take, if not the whole season, most of the season. They already did it to us once. I'm honestly happy with whatever comes. I will be eating it up with a spoon, and I hope that I'm talking to the both of you about it when that happens.
Yeah.
Wasn't it with Alawande? Isn't there an Alawande? There's an Alawande Jim thing too, though, right? So I feel like
Are in some kind of relationship.
They were found by Lucius nude in bed. So there's definitely, and then they've been parted as well. So all the
not that people can't be pansexual as well. So I just would like to throw that.
Yeah. Well, but this is what Lucius says. Well, we don't own each other. Says to Izzy, who's trying to out him to Black Pete that he was drawing Fang nude. He said, "Well, we don't own each other. You know, we do whatever." But all the couples are split. Alawande is on the deserted island. Jim is under lock and key on the Revenge. As we've said, Steed and Ed are apart. And Lucius and Black Pete are apart because Lucius is in Davy Jones' locker, potentially. And Black Pete is on the deserted island. So, yes.
And Button's seagull died. So.
Yes, Carl.
Carl died.
Carl died, but Chloe gave Calico Jack the eye, and Calico Jack died. All right, we're off for a clap of thunder, and we'll be right back. All right, we were just being invigorated by the feel of silk against our skin. We're back now. Let's do some superlatives. Grace, you're most valuable player of the entire season.
This is tricky because I think there's two. I think actually for us, there's probably three front runners, which is our two main characters and Jim. Not to spoil everything. Jim probably is my biggest surprise of all of TV this year. Just not knowing that Vico Ortiz was going to totally change my world. I think I said to you this. I sent you their picture. It was like, I don't know if I want to be with them or be them.
The perpetual trans and or queer dilemma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I want to be them? Do I want to be with them? All of the above.
Yeah. I might have to give it to Steed Bonnet though too, just like the heart, I think, of the show. So that's where my vote might go. I don't know my answer yet, but this is where I'm floating between these two answers, I think.
Between Jim and Steed.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. I mean, all three of them, it's like so hard to say.
Yeah.
And I imagine outside of our podcast, Jim is probably not in contention, but you know, that's why our podcast is special.
Yeah.
It's easy to make the argument for Blackbeard or for Steed, given that they are both such driving forces. I almost feel like you can't give it to Blackbeard because he doesn't show up for so long.
I love when we were like, we're watching the show with Taika Waititi.
I think we had to do our first podcast episode and we were like, oh, we saw his silhouette.
Yeah, I think at the end of episode 3, you see his silhouette. Yeah.
So I'm in agreement with you, Grace. I think it's between Blackbeard and Jim. And I am tempted to give it to Jim just because I've never seen a character like that on TV.
Yeah, that's fair.
They arrived fully realized was what was wonderful. They didn't have to discover themselves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. For me, Ed, his name is Ed. It's Blackbeard for me. The performance by Taika Waititi is, as spectacular as you would think it would be. Not that, Rhys Darby is no slouch. But for me, the distance that Blackbeard travels emotionally and in himself. Sure. And I loved that idea of he opens himself up emotionally, which generally in fictional television and film is a good thing. But for this man, it's a bad thing that he feels somewhat that he loses it, although he finds Steed. But who is he without Steed? So he's been broken down by the emotion. And the idea would be that he would be built back up by their relationship or would find himself in their relationship. But as far as he knows, Steed abandons him. So there's this extraordinary, the last episode where he goes into, he's crying, he's writing terrible lyrics, he's singing songs, and then he turns and he puts his black back on and he smears charcoal all over his face and he cuts off a toe. But he's still crying. Oh, yeah. I love all the changes
classic
that he has.
Classic coping mechanism.
Classic coping. He takes the piece of red silk that his mother gave him, which we know from his childhood, and he lets it fly. He's giving that away. Whereas although Steed learns things, he himself, in himself, I don't know, changes as much. So for me, it's Ed.
I'll vote Steed just so we all have a different answer.
Yeah, all right, there we go. We got the big three.
We got those other big three. Mm-hmm. All right, best crew member, Grace.
Well, I haven't given a shout out to the Swede yet. I think I like Buttons. I think Buttons is just the perfect amount of weird. I also Frenchie cooking is the whole crew is really great. I gotta say. Is it Roach is the one who cooks? Frenchie.
Roach.
Cooks.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Samba, shoot. He's very active on Twitter as well.
I'll go with, Jim is also a member of the ship. I'll go with Oluwani. He's so sweet. So sweet.
Oh, that was going to be my answer, too.
That's a good
answer. Yeah. Oluwani is such a great advocate for Jim when Jim is mute at the start of the season and continues to be a great advocate for them when they go to see their Nana.
Yeah.
And I think it's Oluwande who's like, their name is Jim.
Right.
And it is so helpful to have someone else there to advocate for you so that you don't have to do that work yourself. Mm-hmm. When it may involve being particularly emotionally vulnerable, to have someone for whom the stakes are not quite as high to be there as your support is so huge. Mm-hmm. And I love this like unexpected relationship that we get between Jim and Oluwande on the show. And does he come? Who runs the pyramid scheme in
that is Oluwande and Frenchie, right?
Yes. Because the pyramid scheme
That's really
excellent. It's Frenchie's idea, but Oluwande is the Prince of Egypt.
Yes.
Right.
So good. Right. Yeah. Oluwande is definitely my pick.
Yes. Frenchie's very smart because in that pyramid scheme, when the aristocrat is saying, oh, your Africans are much better behaved than my Africans, it looks like Oluwande would like to just kill him.
Yeah.
But instead, Frenchie is like, no. We destroy them another way. Yeah. And then gives the money away. So, yes, Oluwande for you. True. I'm going to say Wee John. This is Christian Nairn. I love his sort of generosity and his gentleness, but also when the crew have been invaded by the English, you can see about four people trying to bring him down, and he delights me. So Wee John for me. Worst crew member.
Is it strictly Steed's crew?
Yes, this is for the revenge. We'll do the worst character off the revenge. Yes. Okay. This is the worst crew member on the revenge.
I don't want to give it to any of them, even probably the word, probably Black Pete. But like, even Black Pete is like, I don't know.
Pete has his charms. All right, let's not. But it would have been Black Pete. Okay. Wonderful.
We all begrudgingly agree.
Yeah. Yes, okay. This is the most wonderful performance by Matthew Mann, and I have to say, in my mind, I remembered it being good, and on the rewatch, it is. It's so good.
What about Carl? So I mean, that's victim blame. He does die. Okay.
Carl, that's victim blaming. Yes. And Carl's very loyal.
Yeah.
Let's do best character off the Revenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's Spanish Jackie, and it's not it's close.
Spanish Jackie, yeah. Spanish Jackie with her wooden hand, which conceals a knife, who has 20 husbands, 19, 18, again counting.
I'll give a shout out to Mary, though, but I think it's Leslie. Oh, I think it's Spanish Jackie as well.
Yeah. Mary was my other thought, but Spanish Jackie, I mean, she has to come back. She's 25. She's counseling Jim not to let Revenge.
Geraldo dies, right? Fred Armisen's character dies, right? Is that true?
Because Jim is holding Geraldo as a hostage, and Spanish Jackie
shoots him. Right. Yeah. That's hilarious. That's so good.
And then they fight, and then Spanish Jackie, with Jim's knife at her throat, says, "You know, there's another way to do this. Let's get some drinks." Beautiful.
Right.
Honorable mention also, I think, to Kristen Johnston's character, who is the like most unabashed of the widows, who's like, "Yeah, I can get you a dead guy, no problem."
Right.
And her unexplained eye patch, where you
go. Enjoyed her appearance on the show.
And she is the one that owns the leopard, who's a sweetheart. Yes,
sure,
yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Very good shout out. Mm-hmm. Now, worst character off the Revenge. Where do we want to go here? Hands off Izzy Hands, because he's not the worst. He just has a pirate. He has a code.
Oh, yeah. I got a good one. King George is a monarch. And
yeah, Australian. Oh, yeah. That's Australian Andrew Sampson.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Calico Jack and his dick measuring.
Yeah. Isn't some of the which one of their parents is like awful between Steed and Mary? Who buys them
gravestones? Yeah.
Mary's
that's
parents.
That's pretty bad too.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, I think. Yeah.
But Steed's father sprays young Steed with blood. This is young Darby, whose name I have here, Theo Darby, playing his father as a young boy, which is very, it's a nice, it's a cute moment. They both have awful parents.
And the French aristocrats are pretty mean as well, and they're the ones where don't all their secrets get revealed, how they're awful to each other. So
they're all terrible.
I might pick that the French aristocrats.
Terrible. The French
and then the ship goes on fire. The ship goes on fire. So I think they get their comeuppance. I had a superlative which I called most piratey. And I'm going to give this to Mr. Buttons, the incredible Ewan Bremner, with his nude full moon bathing, his pet gull, Carl, and the hex that he puts upon Calico Jack, which comes true, and also his fighting teeth, which he puts in to bite people because
I'm glad you rewatched this. Because one of my favorite things is when you've watched it and then somebody explains things that you've watched and you're like, oh yeah, that's hilarious. That's so funny. I forgot that happened. Yeah. Fighting teeth.
Most piratey, Grace.
So I'm torn between Blackbeard and Izzy Hands. I feel like they're the most piratey.
Oh yeah.
I feel like Blackbeard. Sad. And maybe I'll actually give Izzy, because I feel like that's the thing that is the problem with Izzy. Is that he holds on to his pirateness so much. He cannot let go.
And he is like the most legit pirate of all of them.
Yes, agreed. Yeah.
I think everybody on the Revenge is like not a great pirate. They're kind of doing their own thing, but if we're going by like stereotypical like piratey pirate standards, Izzy Hands.
I'm glad he gets something. I love Izzy Hands. All right, best flag. If you remember the flags, there was a skull eating a skull. There's a skeleton holding
its
own skull.
What's the cat?
The cat. Yeah. Very scary.
I mean, the cat became like the symbol of the show.
With knives in there.
Ooh, I could order. Oh, it's just a sticker, but it's the cat flag. Very interesting.
I'm going to go with the skull vomiting buttons. But the cat is pretty fantastic. And also, every time we see it, it's completely drenched in the blood of Nigel Badminton.
Oh, I do really like the one where the skeleton is holding his head. His skeleton. Mm-hmm. that I have them here. If you, I'll send. This is a sticker, but I'll send them to you. But yeah, the skeleton holding its own head is very good. I like that a lot.
Mm. Oh yeah, the skeleton holding its own head is
pretty
good.
So funny.
I mean, the classic. I love the classic Blackbeard flag too.
Yeah, you
know, of the skeleton with the spear and the heart. Because that,
and
is
then you
real.
Can rip the heart off as well, right? Yeah. Like it's like sewed on. Yeah,
that's why he keeps Frenchie, because Frenchie can sew, and he is compelled to add the heart to the flag. And Zed, you told us when we covered that episode that is in fact Blackbeard's flag.
Yeah, it is indeed. The cat.
The cat.
Can't go wrong with the cat.
They're demons with knives in their hands. Mm-hmm. You know. And finally, and this is a very, very, this was a very hard one for me because there were so many who could have got it. Best beard, I'm going for Fang, the wonderful David Fane. Tall, broad, tattooed with this beautiful white beard.
Well, it's no question. Mary was the best beard. I'm gonna give it to Mary.
And she didn't even know it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to Mary. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna give it to Guz Khan's character, whose name I don't even know.
Ivan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. A little bit of recognition for Guz Khan.
Yes. Honorable mention to Jim's beard.
Agreed. Yes. And Blackbeard's beard that he shaves off.
Well, I mean, so many good beards, especially when it was groomed with purple bows in it.
That's true.
To go to the party. And when he got a little bit of roast snake in it at the treasure hunt, mm-hmm. and Steed picked it out in front of the wide eyes of Lucius, who said what we were all saying, which was, it's really happening. It's really happening. So, yes, Blackbeard's beard almost had a storyline of its own. Before we close out, we want to remind everyone one last time about our audience survey at postshowrecaps.com/survey2022. Every response is greatly appreciated and will help make Post Show Recaps the best it can be. And one last time, that's postshowrecaps.com/survey2022. Zed, would you recommend that our listeners, well, we actually hope you've already watched it because we just gave away so much, but would you recommend that people watch or rewatch the season? And what do you have going on and where can the people find you?
Absolutely. If you've somehow not watched Our Flag Means Death in the year 2022, please go do so. It's an absolute delight. So full of really enjoyable characters, really excellent writing, some great performances, a lot of representation that you will not see anywhere else on this silly little pirate show. What else do I have going on? Not a whole lot. You can catch me over at twitch.tv/hardrockhope playing video games, mostly Final Fantasy, and talking about Final Fantasy on Post Show Recaps currently with our friend Adam H, who is playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake for the first time. That's it for me. I'm at Hard Rock Hope on Twitter while Twitter's still around.
Yes.
Grace?
Before the pirates take it down.
Yes. I just wrapped up a couple of shows. So wrapped up 1899, the Netflix mystery show. But Ariel, Rich and I will be diving into A Dark Rewatch. So that's very exciting. Weekly recaps of that. We are spoiling the full show, so make sure you've watched all of it. It's my favorite scripted show of all time.
So
apologies
good.
To Our Flying Means Death. It is my favorite scripted. Maybe I'll say drama for now. So we're going to rewatch that. And then The Crown, I wrapped that up with Shannon Gus, which is very fun. Weekly movie coverage with Ariel. Avatar Way of Water dropped last week, so we did a preview pod for the thing. There should be a spoiler free reaction pod in your feeds as well, and then we'll be back later this week with a full spoiler filled pod. That's Josh, Ariel and I. Roll Call over on Rob as a podcast, playing board games. We played Spyfall and Clue and Settlers of Catan. So check out the replays over there. Should be an episode of Roll Call Confessionals where we edit in confessionals and music and all sorts of fun stuff on the video that should be out or be coming out soon for the Spyfall episode. I'm on Twitter at @HiFromGrace. Sarah, what about you?
I would recommend that people watch it or indeed rewatch it. I must say the rewatch is completely delightful. It's something I'd been planning to do and hadn't got around to. So I was so happy to have the opportunity. And I thought, well, why isn't this my fifth rewatch? You can follow me at Sarah Carradine on Twitter. Catch me every week here on Post Show Recaps, talking Welcome to Chippendales with Jason Reed. Those Chippendales don't welcome themselves. We have to do it for them. And every week over on RHAP, Reality TV Wrap-Ups, talk true crime with the great Mari Forth on Crime Scene. That's Scene, S-E-E-N. Also, you can follow my week-by-week recap of The Traitors UK with Australian Ninja Warrior Sean Bryant over on Silent Podcasts. That's going to do it for Our Flag Means Death on the 2022 In Review podcast. Make sure you've subscribed to the 2022 In Review podcast series at postshowrecaps.com/2022in review. As our look backs, or should it be looks back? Yes, should be looks back on the year in TV continue all through December. Until next time, remember, what's a pirate's favourite letter? You think it's the R, but it's actually the C.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.